Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. We go right out to the phone lines where we find ourselves Antonio Daniels, a longtime NBA point guard, spent time playing with the Blazers, the Sonics, the Grizzlies when they were in Vancouver, the Hornets, the Wizards, and now he's a Sirius XM radio host on the NBA channel. Antonio, thanks for being with us. How you doing?
I am blessed, fellas. How you guys doing?
Antonio, you played the game. You can appreciate history. Klay Thompson, 60 points in 29 minutes the other day. Yes, the Warriors were blowing out the Pacers. Klay Thompson did not play the fourth quarter. Should Steve Kerr have left him in to try to chase something special? I mean, 60 points in 29 minutes, who knows what it could have been?
That's such a double standard situation. You never know what you're going to get. So you put Klay Thompson out there, and he twists his ankle or he messes his knee up. Now he's out 6 weeks, and now people are saying, you know what, Steve Kerr should have took him out the game. So there is no real right answer to that question. Would it have been nice if he would have stayed in the game and got 80 or 85 points? Yeah, that would have been great. But to me, the risk outweighs the reward in that situation. I think Steve Kerr did the right thing.
If you're the point guard on that Warriors team, are you purposely feeding Thompson every chance you get?
Oh, yes. Oh, no question about it. And the thing is, it comes to a point when somebody's going like that, when somebody's jump shot is that laser focused, and it's not even a point that you have to go out of your way to find them. The ball is going to find the hot man. That's the way the NBA works. The ball is going to work his way around and find that hot man. And when you're that hot, opportunities just seem to come. Because, you know, basically, the way Klay Thompson was, is the moment he crossed half court, he was in range. So now whatever play you run where he touches the ball, he's within range. So you really don't have to go out of your way to find him. The ball's going to find him no matter what.
In the Western Conference, the Warriors are 18-3, the Spurs 18-4, the Clippers are 16-6. Clippers and Warriors play each other tonight. What do you think about that Western Conference as a whole? Is it a three-team race down to the end, or is it the Warriors to lose?
Well, I think San Antonio and the Clippers are definitely players in the game, but to me, right now, I think it's the Warriors to lose just because of the amount of talent and star power that they have. The NBA is a star-driven league. It always has been. You usually don't get teams in the finals that don't have that one or two guys that can put a team on their shoulders and take them to a championship. And now when you look at the Golden State Warriors, you're talking about four stars that they have on the same roster. You know, so, but, you know, on the flip side, the Spurs, you just said it, you know, they're 18-4. They're playing well. The Clippers lost six games total. And the thing about the Clippers is you never really know what you're going to get. Do they have the talent? Yes. And sometimes the chemistry is a little bit in and out or up and down, so you don't really know what you're going to get with that team. This is a team that has the talent to make and win the NBA Finals. But on the flip side, this is also a team that can crumble within and then go be up 3-1 and then lose. So you really don't know what you're going to get from the Clippers. So right now, I mean, as far as that goes with the Western Conference, it's loaded because then you have Russell Westbrook and Oklahoma City Thunder. You have James Harden and the Houston Rockets. So you have other teams that have great stars that are playing well. But I think it's a three-team race as far as winning a championship or getting to the Western Conference Finals is concerned.
You played for Greg Popovich and won a title. And up here, a lot of Patriot fans equate Bill Belichick to be a lot like Greg Popovich. What is it like playing for a guy like that? And what makes them able to be so good year in and year out?
Well, honestly, when I played for Pop, he wasn't Pop yet. And I say that meaning I got to San Antonio in 1998-99, and that was his second year coaching because Tim Duncan's rookie year was Pop's first year coaching, or, you know, around a year and a half or so. He took over midway prior to. So, but you just learn a lot. You know, you're constantly learning. He's constantly teaching. And there are always lessons within the lesson. So if you look at Pop's strategy of resting guys, just as much as the NBA has looked at that and said, you know what, man, he's resting his stars and, you know, that's not right to fans or, you know, other fan bases, there's another flip side to that. He's resting guys, but he's also given experience to guys that he knows that he will need as the season goes along. So there's always a lesson within a lesson with Greg Popovich. It's not always as it seems, where it's like he's just resting guys. No, he's resting guys on one hand, but there's a bigger picture. So when you get to the playoffs and you play Oklahoma City and Tony Parker gets hurt, now Corey Joseph has that experience to start the second half and finish Oklahoma City in six games because Greg Popovich has played him throughout the course of the year, and that confidence that he has developed in Corey Joseph, now he's ready to go. So, you know, I think in both of them, things aren't always as they look. You know, there's always a bigger picture, a smarter side that a lot of people don't see with Bill Belichick and also with Greg Popovich.
Antonio Daniels, he's a longtime NBA veteran, and now he is a radio host at Sirius XM, the NBA channel. He's here with us on Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Antonio, we're also your home for the Boston Celtics, and I'm a big fan of Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas said recently it's his goal to be to play the same way as Allen Iverson, and I loved AI, but is that really the best on-court basketball role model for a guy?
Well, I think when someone says something like that, you're talking about, I don't think he's talking about just the flat-out style, because they're two different players. But you're looking at the heart of a smaller guy. And if I'm 6 foot and under, yeah, I'm looking at Allen Iverson too, as somebody that's somebody that I want to emulate. Not his style of play, you know, because AI is AI. But as far as the heart, the dedication, determination that he took to the floor night in and night out, he was as tough as they came. At 6 foot, 120, 30 pounds soaking wet. You know, so when I think when guys say that, I don't think they're talking about his style as far as, like, I want to emulate his style of play. But I think just that heart of a lion that Allen Iverson played with, that guys, because you got to understand, when guys are smaller in the NBA, they're written off. There's a reason Isaiah was the last pick of the draft. And a lot of that had to do with his size or lack of, that people didn't think, you know what, he's not going to come here and do what this guy does because he can't, he's too small. And you've heard that your whole life. So you have that chip on your shoulder. So when you see a guy like Allen Iverson that opens the doors for so many quote-unquote small guys, that shows him, you know what, I can be successful too if I play with that kind of heart night in and night out. Yeah, if I was 6 foot and under, Allen Iverson is that guy I would want to emulate myself.
Antonio, you have the unique perspective of having played in Vancouver when the Grizzlies were in Vancouver and having played in Seattle with the Sonics. I'm from Seattle. I was a diehard Sonic fan. I probably cried the day that they left town. What was it like? What are your memories of playing in Vancouver and playing in Seattle, two cities that are no longer NBA markets right now?
And it's crazy because they're two different memories. Vancouver was my rookie year. We were a very, very bad team. You know, that year that organization had only been in existence for 3 years, you know, drafting Country their first year, Big Country, Sharif their second year, and me their third year. So we were 19-63. We were not a very good team. I love the city. Love the city. Love the Northwest. Great group of people. Melting pot of a city, which was fantastic. Then you go to Seattle. And Seattle, even out of my 13-year career, Seattle, that may be my one most memorable year. The year that we were picked to do nothing, finished last in our division, lost our first game by 40 points to the Clippers. And this is before the Clippers were the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Clippers. These were the Clippers that the old Clippers that you remember. So we lose our first game. Then we run off 10, 12 games in a row. Nate McMillan wins Coach of the Year. We lose second round to the San Antonio Spurs in six games. Ray Allen was a inch of a shot of pushing it to seven games, and we won 52 games that year. Just, you know, just that year, that city. It's amazing to me that Seattle doesn't have a city. Those fans in Seattle were bananas. They were amazing. So I have two different experiences from the great Northwest, one being successful in Seattle and the other one being a big-time learning experience for me my rookie year in Vancouver.
Antonio, we'll get you out of here on this. A name everyone knows and a name people may not know, but they're both doing very, very special things this year. What are your thoughts on what Russell Westbrook's doing in Oklahoma City? And how about the young kid, Giannis Antetokounmpo, out in Milwaukee? Because that's a name I think a lot of people are going to start to know about soon.
Well, you know, I'm blessed. I work for the Oklahoma City Thunder. So I do their Thunder Live, their pregame show, halftime show, and postgame show. So I'm blessed to cover Russell Westbrook night in and night out. What this young man is doing is like no other. And I'm not just talking about the stats. I'm talking about the motor, the energy that he plays with. Now, I don't know where he gets it from. I don't know how he does it. The rate at which he rebounds. You know, you look at Russell Westbrook being 6'3", 6'4". He averages more rebounds than Marc Gasol and Brooke Lopez combined.
Oof.
Combined. And those are two starting what you would consider elite centers in this league. The rate at which he rebounds, the rate at which he plays, that level at which he plays, is usually when guys, if you play pickup basketball, or even really at any level, the guy who's playing the hardest on the court is the guy who is trying to make up for his lack of talent. And it's very rare that the best guy on the floor, as far as talent is concerned, is the guy that is playing the hardest. And Russell Westbrook is that guy that is the most talented on the floor and also brings it as far as that energy night in and night out, which is amazing to me. And Giannis is just, I don't know. Like, he's a big-time question mark, but in a optimistic way. You know, he is 6'10", 22 years old, and the only thing that he can't do, is he hasn't shown an ability to knock down a jump shot consistently. Everything else on the basketball court, he can do. He can rebound, he can dribble, he can run, he can defend multiple positions, he's athletic. Once that jump shot comes in, you are talking about a potential top five player in this league, easily.
Antonio Daniels, love hearing his knowledge. A longtime NBA veteran, played with multiple different teams, the Grizzlies, the Sonics, the Spurs, the Blazers, the Wizards, the Hornets, it goes on. Antonio Daniels, also a Sirius XM radio host and works with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Antonio, love the time, appreciate the insight. We'll do it again.
Oh, for sure. Thank you.